This show is a part of the Quite the Thing Media Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody.
This is Kim.
And this is Kel. You're listening to Shiny Things.
What's new?
Nothing. Just working.
So, Kelly, do you know I got like this, I subscribed to the FBI mailing list?
No.
Yeah, so it was cheap enough. It was cheap enough email. So every once in a while they send you an email and you get to see like the missing persons and its updates and stuff like that. So I was scrolling through the other day and I came across, and you can actually go onto their website too.
Okay.
And so you can pick the category that you want to look at. And I actually just found it, dumb luck. Found this woman that was murdered and her daughter is missing. Her name is Nicole Fitz and her daughter is Ariana. And they still haven't found the little girl. So I kind of wanted to talk about that case today.
Yeah, that sounds gnarly.
Yeah. It's sad because you know what, it seemed like she was the underdog, and as much as she tried, she would go like one step forward and then fall three steps backwards. So I mean, she was under the gun from the get-go. It's just sad though, because the more I research this, the more I'm like, this poor girl, I just wanted to hug her. But anyway, that's what today's episode is about. Poor Nicole. So, Nicole, it's an unsolved murder because they never found out who actually killed her.
Oh, that makes it
even worse. Even worse. And it happened several years ago, and it's still, like, you don't really hear very much about it anymore. And she actually has a group page for Nicole and Ariana. But sadly, I don't see too much about on there either.
Yeah, because it's like, so whoever murdered her, do they have the daughter? Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many scary unknowns of where that little girl could be.
It all unfolds in this story I'm going to tell you. And it's going to become quite obvious who you think has Ariana, because it's very obvious to me, but there's just not enough evidence. I'm going to post some pictures on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram of what Ariana would look like now.
I was curious.
Yeah. So when she went missing, she was actually 2.5 years old, and that was like 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So it shows the age progression. So anyway, the disappearance of 2.5-year-old Ariana and the unsolved murder of 32-year-old Nicole Nikki Fitz. I'm just going to call her Nikki because, you know, the more I read about her, the more likable she seemed. Like somebody that you would know and you would like and you would, I mean, she's young. She was young.
Yeah.
Like somebody that I would want to take under my wing to mother. So that's why I want to call her Nikki.
Okay.
So it's one of those stories that you hear and are so compelled to root for this underdog. And she was definitely the underdog. And even though you know the outcome was murder, you're still rooting for a happy ending. It's just, it was a hard one to do. And you'll understand when I get into this a little bit more. It's one of those cases that seems so cut and dry, but yet and all, there's still just not enough evidence to make an arrest. So let's start from the very beginning. Nikki was a shy and seemed to be the definition of selfless human being. She was always helping others. She was like the all-around loving and giving person. You know, those kind of people are so few and far between now. So growing up, Nikki was an overachiever when it came to school especially. Not only did she get good grades, she was actually described as teacher's pet. In fact, when she was younger, she actually wanted to become a teacher. She was the kind of student that was first to have her hand up when the teacher needed a volunteer. I was the last.
Me too. I was like, put my hand over my eyes. Like
and look down at the desk.
Yep.
So when she was in high school, she actually volunteered at a recreation center called the Culver Recreation Center in California. And she dedicated copious amounts of hours to this community, which earned her an award from the city of Los Angeles for her selflessness. So she was like one of those genuinely good people.
Right.
Nikki and her older sister, Catherine, and her younger sister, Contessa. I love that name.
That is a nice name.
She was actually short for Tess for short. Lived with their mom in Culver City, California, until tragedy struck when their mom passed away. And then to make matters worse, they didn't have any real family to take them in, and they were all still underage. They were still in high school.
Oh.
Which meant they had to go into foster care. So not only were they placed in foster care, they were often separated, which made matters even worse.
That sucks.
That must have been horrible. So a few years passed. In late 2011, Nikki was actually an adult by that time. She was no longer in foster care, and she gave birth to her daughter, Cindy. Life was a constant struggle for Nikki. The paying of bills and the caring for her child. You know, that's not hard enough, but being a single parent made it that much worse. So apparently the father wasn't really in the picture. Eventually, Nikki found her way back to her younger sister, Tess, and her partner, Claire. They decided to find a home to share, which would make the bills easier for them to manage. Which, that sounds like a good idea to me. And then you'd always have the family close.
Right.
So it seemed like a win-win for everybody. They found a home in Pacifica, California, and I'm not really sure if that's like a well-to-do area or not, but...
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
So that was actually a positive step in the right direction for, you know, a bright future, or so they thought. Unfortunately, the cost of living in the area was so expensive, it became a lot more challenging than they even imagined, especially for Nikki, because... She became pregnant with her second daughter, Ariana, I'm sorry. So they all agreed that the living situation wasn't working out as well as they had hoped. Tess and Claire found their own place in the more affordable Santa Cruz. And Nikki settled in San Francisco, where there were a lot of job opportunities.
Talk about expensive, though.
Yeah. So while Nikki got back on her feet, she sent Cindy to live with her father, Cindy's father.
Okay.
So Nikki's on her own, and she's trying to, you know, get her shit together. Nikki just couldn't get a break and ended up living in a homeless women's shelter until after Ariana was born. Can you imagine?
Ugh. Being pregnant and not having, like, your own place or...
Her own anything. I mean, you know, it seems like it was, like... the beginning of a chaotic life when her mom passed away.
Right.
You know? So the situation was dire. She needed money to put Ariana in daycare. And she couldn't work, but she couldn't get a job without having the daycare. So it was like a catch-22.
Mm.
It's like, I can't win for losing kind of a situation.
Right.
So, while at the homeless shelter, Nikki was introduced to a self-proclaimed street pastor named Limasani Briggs. So Limasani visited these shelters and spoke to everyone that would listen. She seemed harmless. So when Limasani offered her and Ariana a place to stay, while Nikki got back on her feet, she jumped at the offer. I mean, who wouldn't?
Right.
Living in a home, a stable home, versus a homeless shelter seems like a really good idea. So Limasani would watch Ariana while Nikki got a job, saved her money, and eventually got on her feet and was able to move into her own place with Cindy and Ariana. That was her mission. So Nikki found a job working at Best Buy and was making decent money and was able to pick up lots of extra hours. It was working out great until Nikki received her first paycheck, and that's when things started going sideways because Limasani started charging her for rent and childcare. So here she is, she's trying to save money so she can get out on her own, and this woman is basically raping her.
Right.
You know, money-wise. So, you know, and a lot of people would say maybe she was just, you know, asking for a small amount because she was living in her home. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. The rent and the childcare would fluctuate weekly depending on the amount of money she got in her paycheck. So essentially, Nikki was working her ass off and then handing her entire paycheck over to Limasani.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's like, what is it any of this lady's business what her paycheck is?
So she's basically finding out how much money Nikki's making and then, like, asking for, like, almost all of it.
That's bullshit.
And it would change from week to week. So, I mean, that's not helping.
No.
It's like, what am I working for? To pay you?
Yeah, that's not worth it.
So Limasani constantly sent her belittling text messages while she was at work, calling her terrible names and telling her she was a bad influence on her daughter, basically putting down her friends and the guy she was seeing. She's basically being a pain in the ass. As if that wasn't enough, if she got home, back to Limasani's home, and no one was home, she'd have to wait outside for someone to return because she refused to give Nikki a house key despite her paying rent. Yeah. That's bullshit.
That is.
I would have not put up with that. But this girl was like naive and sweet and kind. And
I would have gone back to the shelter.
It seems like it might have been a better idea for her. So, it was a straw that broke the camel's back when Limasani started becoming bizarrely possessive with Ariana. It had gotten so bad that Nikki and Ariana moved back to Santa Cruz temporarily with Tess and Claire. And since Santa Cruz was about an hour and a half away, Nikki continued her job at Best Buy, but she ended up having to rely on Tess or Claire to make that long drive with her to bring her to work, or she had to take public transportation.
Yeah, screw that. Get transferred to another store.
Yeah. Well, but because Limasani was no longer allowed to watch Ariana, she still needed daycare because Claire and Tess worked. So she had no other option than to leave Ariana with Limasani's nieces. I'm hoping I'm saying this right. Sila? S-I-O-L-A? Thiola? And Helene. So they started babysitting. Helene Hearn was actually Helene Hearn Martin. She was married to a man named Devin Martin. Helene and Devin lived in Oakland, which was about 15 or 20 minutes away from San Francisco, where Nikki's job was at Best Buy. Sayola lived in Emeryville, which was about 30 minutes from San Francisco. So basically, whoever was available to take care of the baby at the time would take care of her. And I'm sure you're thinking the same thing. There was a concern that Ariana was being watched by someone that was related to Limasani. The same woman that had texted Nikki after she left, bring my baby back. That's kind of creepy. But apparently Nikki trusted Sayola and Helene and her husband Devin. And since they weren't on speaking terms with Limasani, she believed Ariana was in good hands and wouldn't be around Limasani.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust that.
No, I wouldn't have either, but things were still exceedingly difficult for Nikki, but with all of the obstacles in her life, she continued to focus on what was important, like her family was back together, and she was offering a stable environment to her daughter, and she was working her ass off, picking up extra shifts, working longer hours. But unfortunately, with all the hours she was working, she often worked so late into the night that it meant having to take that long ride home, which, remember, it was an hour and a half away, with the baby, and then just turning around and coming back to work the next morning. There were times that she would just spend the night on someone's couch, which meant that she would have to leave Ariana at the babysitter's house for sometimes up to a week. So just when you think things couldn't get worse for that poor girl, they do. Nikki was notified that Cindy was taken from her father by Child Protective Services.
Ooh.
This poor girl can't get a break. So now Nikki had to go back and forth all the way to LA to attend court cases in hopes of getting full custody back of Cindy. I mean, she didn't have a I'm going to say what my father would say. She didn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. And it's like, it won't ever end for this poor girl.
Right.
So this meant Ariana was spending even more time at the babysitter's. Nikki was getting increasingly concerned because they too were becoming very possessive over the baby. And they were almost like keeping Nikki from her daughter. Like they would say, if Nikki wanted to come get her, they'd say, we're not home right now, or it wasn't a good time to take Ariana because it would be too far away from them.
See, there's so many red flags. So,
I know. So just all kinds of excuses. So at this point, she had so much going on that she just, you know, kind of put it out of her mind and just assumed they were trying to look out for the baby's best interest. Sometimes you just have to hold on to hope. When, you know, you're just, everything's piling on, you're going down with the ship, you have to hope that somebody's doing the right thing.
And I like that there are genuine people out there like that, because I feel, I know, I've always been not trusting of people. Like, that's usually my first instinct is, you know, so it's good that there are people out there like that, but they're usually the ones that get fucked over the most.
Exactly. It's the gullible people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When you trust people, sometimes you just trust the wrong people. It's not like you can't trust people, but so eventually one of her coworkers found out she was homeless, and that was when she noticed Nikki had been spending a lot of time in the break room, even when she wasn't on the schedule.
Oh.
So eventually one of them offered that her and the baby stay at their home in Mission Village, which was a district of San Francisco. So that's a fantastic opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So she was thinking she wouldn't need to commute that hour and a half each way. And because the apartment in Mission Village was only 15 minutes away from her job, and she'd be with Ariana a lot more, and because she'd have extra money, she could find different childcare and possibly get Cindy back and into a stable home. So, I mean, that's hope good. Springs eternal.
Right.
So, except none of that happened. When Nikki informed Helene and Sayola of her plans, she noticed they created even more excuses to keep the baby from her. So one day in particular, Nikki contacted them and laid down the law and said, I'm picking my daughter up today and your services will no longer be needed. Basically, I'm sick of your shit. She's my kid, not yours.
Right.
So that's when she they informed her that Ariana was actually out of town with the other sister, and they went to Disneyland, making it impossible for her to pick them up.
Bullshit.
I know. So, they have no legal custody, and they took her out of town.
My first call would be to the permission. Cops.
And me too. And I understand it seemed like there was very loose boundaries in regards to, you know, legal guardianship and parental, you know, decisions and things, but they weren't her legal guardian, so they had no right taking her out of town without consent. They didn't even ask her for consent, which makes me think that that wasn't even true.
Oh, yeah, and I guarantee you they were not in Disneyland.
No. So they had no intention of returning her. So when Nikki started putting up a fight, they accused her of being an unfit mother and a bad influence, kind of mirroring the things that Limisani had said a few months before. So 6 weeks passed, 6 weeks, and Nikki still hadn't seen her daughter. Essentially, her child was kidnapped.
Fuck that.
I know.
6 hours, and I would be like, nope.
Yeah, I want my kid. So, but to the best of my knowledge, the police were never notified.
No.
So, but you got to think about it. She already had one kid in Child Protective Services.
But that wasn't her doing. That was.
But she's young, and she's homeless, basically, living on people's couches. She's in her friend's apartment temporarily, or her, you know, her co-worker. She doesn't have a stable life, so she's probably thinking, if I contact the police, they're going to see all these problems that I'm having, and they could possibly take Ariana away. So that's probably why she didn't contact them. She wanted to basically try to handle things on her, by herself.
Still, I don't know.
I know. It's like a coulda, shoulda, woulda kind of thing. So fast forward to April 1st, 2016. This was the date Nikki had informed the babysitters for the last time that they'd no longer be watching Ariana. Nikki worked her shift, grabbed a bite to eat with a friend, and just before heading home, Nikki withdrew money from the ATM. No idea how much, but... And then they went home. So they watched a movie with the roommate until about 9 o'clock when Nikki received a call from who she said was the sitters that seemed kind of urgent, and immediately after the call ended, she left to meet them at a local restaurant, stating she'd be back in 5 minutes. Nikki never returned. The next morning, the roommate woke up early and noticed a text from Nikki, and it was sent at approximately 12:45 in the morning, and it which was just a couple hours before. So it stated that it said she was going to Fresno with Sam, and this is, no one had any idea who Sam even was.
That was somebody hacked her phone. And...
Right. So about 30 minutes after that, Nikki made a Facebook post containing all kinds of spelling errors, which was really odd because she was like, academically, like, inclined. She was, like, above a lot of other people.
Right.
So, spelling errors wouldn't have happened with her. And it said, spending time with my 3-year-old need this break.
Why wouldn't she call her by her name?
She didn't call her by her name. She said she was 3 years old, but she was only 2. And she said, need this break. And she spelled break, B-R-A-K-E. So, that it all just seems really weird. So, the first thing is, Nikki claimed to be going to Fresno at 12:45 with Sam. And that was about 3 hours away from Mission Village. And the post said she was spending time with Ariana, who was only 15 minutes away in Oakland. So from 30 minutes of the text being sent saying that she was going to Fresno with Sam, she actually was with Ariana, who was only 15 minutes away. It just seems like it's just really bizarre.
Yeah.
So,
and if she was worried about calling the cops, why would she just go off with this person?
Right. It doesn't make sense. So lastly, in the beginning, I stated that Nikki was very smart and she loved school. And she was a very dedicated person. So number one, she wouldn't have made all those spelling errors. And number two, she wouldn't have been a no-quill, no-show at work. Because she was basically working her ass off and never calling into work.
Right.
Never not showing up. It was so out of character for her. So authorities were notified of Nikki's disappearance. And since no one had any contact numbers or last names to the sitters or addresses to their homes, for that matter, Ariana was reported missing. Luckily, Tess remembered she had driven Nikki to both their homes before and was able to remember the location of the home, so she backtracked and got the addresses and gave them to the authorities, which, thank God,
right,
she did that. So authorities immediately sought out Sciola and Helene for answers. Helene and Devin claimed they hadn't seen Ariana in weeks, but couldn't or wouldn't say who she was with. Authorities questioned the 3 of them, and each contradicted the other. Authorities were no closer to finding Ariana or Nikki than they had before. However, soon after questioning, Helene was actually taken from being a witness, and she was put as a person of interest.
Yeah, they're, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's what I said, what the fuck. So, she actually retained a criminal attorney who advised her to completely silence herself. Honey, if you didn't do anything wrong, you have no reason to be silent.
And this kid's not yours, so if they're with somebody else, I'd throw that person under the bus.
I would too.
That's why I think they're all full of shit.
Yeah. And now this family has no peace of mind. So, unfortunately, it gets worse, Kelly.
Mm.
Gruesome discovery was made a few days later by employees of the Recreation and Parks Department of the John McLean Park in San Francisco. Sorry about that. It just got dark. When they noticed a piece of plywood covered with vegetation. Now, this is a park that they're just trying to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're matter-of-factly, they see an old piece of plywood that's covered with weeds and everything. So, they go over to it, assuming that it's trash, to pick it up because they're trying to beautify the park and make it nice again.
Right.
And when they picked it up, they found a decomposed body of Nikki Fitz buried in a shallow grave.
Ugh.
So at this point, I'm sure everyone's mind is racing since they hadn't located Ariana yet. FBI were brought in, and search warrants were issued, making it possible to retrieve 30 pieces of evidence along with a vehicle that was seized in 2017. Authorities believed it contained the DNA evidence connected to Nikki's murder and Ariana's disappearance, but nothing more was said about the findings. So nobody knows what happened with that. So I came across something interesting about Helene, and that was that allegedly, and I'm not saying it's true, but I did read about it, is that she killed the father of her child prior. And so that means the woman that was essentially holding Nikki's daughter captive and keeping her away from her was actually the last person Nikki should have let her stay with because she was capable of murder. So if she can kill her own child's father,
why was this bitch even not in jail?
What else is she capable of? So Nikki's former employer, Best Buy, continues to offer up a $10,000 reward for any information leading to Ariana's safe return and any information that will lead to the arrest in Nicole's murder. And in addition to that, the FBI has offered a $100,000 reward for the information leading to the identification and arrest and conviction of the suspects responsible for the murder of Nicole Fitz and the disappearance of Ariana. So anyone with information about this case should call the San Francisco Police Department tip line at 1-415-575-4444 or text TIP411 and begin that text with SFPD, and you will remain anonymous if you wish. Additionally, this case number is 160-289-073.
Dang. So, what do you think happened to the little girl?
I think that Helene, I think they had her killed even before they said they took her to Disney World. That's what I think.
I was just thinking, like, it's like that Casey Anthony, she didn't report the kid missing.
Right.
And then, you know, the cadaver dogs right. picked up on her trunk. And
so, I mean, they didn't say anything about questioning that Limasani. So I'm thinking that she's really not involved in any of this. I mean, she could have been.
I think she's the mastermind, honestly.
I don't know, because if you are so intent on possessing this child, where is she?
Well, I'm wondering, one, was Limasani questioned? And two, if she wasn't, where the fuck is she? Because she could have fled. She could be in, like, New York right now with that little girl.
But you know what's so weird? There's no updates. It's been, like, 3 or 4 years, and there's been no updates. The last update that I read was that they took a car for DNA testing. And that was, like, 4 or 5 years ago. And there's been nothing since. And I'm praying and I'm hoping that that little girl is alive.
Right.
But I think, I'm thinking a scenario would be, if she was alive, wouldn't she be with them? Because they were so possessive of her.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if Limasani was the mastermind.
Or did...
And that she just, like, she wanted the baby and then she just took off and is living somewhere.
So now this little girl... if she's still alive, and God, I hope she is about 8 years old, and I'm going to post pictures of her with the age progression. I'm also going to post pictures of Nikki and her together. It's so sad.
Is it?
It's like this poor girl, she just could not get a break. You know, and I'm looking through these FBI pictures, and I see her with her daughter. And it's like, you know how I get. I get, like, an instant draw to certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of them, man. It just, this is something that I really hope that they find some kind of answers or something. There's not even anything written down anywhere that I see a cause of death for Nicole.
Well, and I was just wondering, too, with Helene, it's like, was the ex murdered? Was it an accident? Why would people allege that she killed him?
I don't know. I think she did time for it.
Hmm.
I don't know for sure. You know, actually, the whole podcast wasn't necessarily gauged on Limasani or Helene. It was all about Ariana and Nikki. And maybe I overlooked that, but there really was not, there's not a lot of updated information on them.
Because it's probably still an open case, so there's probably not a lot they can share.
I don't know, Kelly. It just makes me sad because the longer somebody's missing and the longer a case goes unanswered.
Yeah, because her sisters just have to be upset and want answers.
Well, they've done, like, if you go on, she has a Facebook page. So if anybody has any kind of information on this baby or young mother, you've got to say something. Go right on their Facebook page. Get some more information, you know, if you're interested in it. I didn't have a whole lot of luck getting any information. I know there were some people on there that did, you know, communicate with me, but there wasn't a lot. And I'm just really hoping that people aren't just accepting this. It's just very sad.
Well, and then, so I know right now because of the whole Brian Laundrie and all of that, they're calling it missing white girl syndrome. So I'm wondering, you know, was Nikki and her daughter not, were they not white?
Yeah, they were African American. But, you know, here's the thing, though.
Because a lot of times,
it doesn't matter what color you are.
No, it doesn't. But a lot of times, you know, like, why is this Gabby's case getting so much attention when there's all those indigenous people that are missing that we don't know about?
There are so many missing people. It's...
And this has been going on for months now.
Oh, it's insane. If you actually looked at the pages like I look, I actually had to stop going on them for a little bit because it started to be so overwhelming because I know I can't talk about everybody. You know, and in my small way, our small way, it's helping to like maybe fan the flames to get people more interactive with these cases that people may have forgotten.
Right.
But there's so many people out there that are missing. And it does seem sometimes like certain people get more attention than others, and I am not taking that away from them.
No, and I think right now the country just needs a distraction, and that's a lot of why. But it's also, I know one of the other cases that you did, Arden, they're going to the FBI and saying, look, we, the indigenous people, we need help. Our people are missing too. So it's really like riling up the missing.
And I get that whole indigenous, and I'm glad that they're contacting the FBI because normally in that case, they try to keep things within their little community.
Right.
They don't have outside interference. But now it's a good thing that they're reaching out for help, and they need the help.
Right.
You know, we've read a lot of stuff about that. You know, it's just like when people like I've done a couple different podcasts on missing or even unsolved murders of women that unfortunately had a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction or were unfortunately they were prostitutes. Hey, listen, I'm not passing judgment on anybody. You know what? At some point, you do what you have to do to get by.
Yeah, like the Long Island serial killer.
Right. It's not victims. Always the right choice, but is your life less important because you were an IV drug user and a prostitute? Everybody's life is worth the same.
No, and that's why I think, you know, I tend to agree with the people who are saying that there's a very unfair presentation, I guess, of different missing people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no way to fix that. And again, I think the country just needs some sort of distraction, and that's why they've really taken to this.
And you know what? And here's the thing. We don't pick and choose.
No, we come.
We have a lot of people contact us to ask us for help, you know, getting their loved one's story out there. We don't choose them. But like with Ariana and Nicole, I chose that.
Mm-hmm.
I scroll through, and when I see something that grabs me, that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
And you know what? Here's the thing. If I could help everybody, I would. But I can't. We're only a little tiny podcast.
Right.
We can't help everybody. But you know what? I actually work with a gentleman, and I'm not going to say the name yet because I'm not sure if I'm allowed to yet, who started his own group for missing and exploited people. And I said to him, I wish I could do more. And he actually said, you're doing more than you even realize that you're doing. So your small part of doing a podcast or even listening to the podcast, so you're aware of what's going on out there, is a big part of helping.
Right.
It's just a really sad situation that there should be a problem like this in the world. Right.
And who is Sam? Did they ever find
anything? They never said another word about it.
Because that's just the name. It could be male or female.
Right.
So that's...
It's all made up. Somebody used her phone and sent those...
Oh, yeah.
...to throw people off the track, basically.
I wonder if they ever found her phone.
I'm wondering if they told her, and she never told anybody, that they were basically extorting money from her to get her daughter back. And that's why she went to the ATM to get all that money. And then when the person called and she said she had to meet her babysitters, it was actually them, and she was going to give them the money for her daughter, and it didn't work out that way. That's just my theory.
They probably took the money and ran.
That's what I was wondering, because I didn't see anything and that kids said are expensive. She still had the money. You know, but...
Yeah, because kids are expensive when you think about it, too, so...
It's just...
And I hope that's not what happened,
but... It's really disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Always call the cops.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how shitty your life is. Always call the cops when it involves your child.
Yep.
Because it's better to get help from the beginning. Because who knows, maybe Nikki would still be here.
But coulda, shoulda, woulda.
But
anyway. So that's it for today.
Oh, that was a bummer.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's okay. My cases are usually bummers.
We need to do this sometimes.
I know. All right, everyone. Till next week. Bye.
Find us at patreon.com/shinythingspodcast. Follow us on Instagram at shinythingspodcast. Find us on our Facebook group page called Shiny Things Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at shinythingspod1. You can email us at shinythingspodcast@gmail.com. Don't be shy. Use any of our social media to send us show ideas, some love, or share additional details we may have missed. Remember to like us and give us 5 stars on your favorite podcasting platform. Until next time, thanks for listening.